harmonize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday, 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
Your brain is filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not. Your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run. But your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. And do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger, unafraid, right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution, Radio!
Hello. Hey, you guys.
Hi.
Howdy.
Hi.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I'm going to try recording this too.
Hello?
Hi.
Okay, I hear you. It just went quiet in the background. Good morning.
Good morning, y'all. I'm trying to record this and it keeps bumping me off as I do that. If any of you guys know how to record, maybe you can go ahead and do that just so we have a recording. Separate. So this is Yolinsley, aka Mitzi, in the chat room at Revolution Radio. It's Bridget's Well, Healing with the Elements of Life. And we have a special show for you all today, a commemoration to Nikki Rapana, who passed away earlier this week. May she rest in peace, and sending lots of prayers of warmth and compassion and comfort for her family and friends all over. I'm going to let Jenna take over the show today. She's still on. And she's going to field the guests that we have on, because they're all, experts in the communitarian issue that Nikki Rapana so eloquently brought to the forefront of the world's consciousness. And we just give great thanks to her. And thanks you all to all the guests who are coming on today. And thank you, Jenna, for taking over. So I'll let you take it away, Jenna, if you're still there. Yeah, I think you are.
Okay. Yes, I am. Right. Thank you, Mitzi. I appreciate you opening up your platform for this day. And I think that with the internet connectivity that we've been able to exchange and learn and grow, and a lot of this stemmed from work that Nikki and Nordica worked at like 20 years ago. And it's time telling that just in the past 2 years, with all of the abrupt changes in society, that we're holding on to each other's research, work, sharing ideas, and using the internet for something like this. Because there's not a lot of getting the word out has been an obstacle. So the people that showed up today, revere Nikki and Nordica for their work and have had communications and friendship, specifically Sean Alger and Vicky Stepanopoulos, I guess. So I'm glad that they've come on also because, you know, this was like sudden loss. And I'm really glad that we have this time to get together and just share how much impact Nikki Rapana has had on our lives and share anything that we want and commemorate her. And we'll start with just the other guests that I have invited on. Breiser in Ireland, are you there?
Sorry, yes, Jenna, I'm here. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, good. I'm really glad that you came. And Sean Alger, do you want to say hi?
Hello. My name is Sean Alger. I go by SB Alger online sometimes. Greetings to everybody and thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, you are welcome. And Vicky Stepanopoulos, are you there also?
I don't think I have her. I don't have her Skype information. I put it into the Skype thing and I couldn't get anything to come up.
I'll reach out and see if I can let her know that we're here.
Yeah, have her send me an invitation so it's easy. Okay.
Thank you. And we have Lark in Texas. Are you there, Lark?
How do you do? Glad to be here. Thank you all for the invite.
You are welcome, because as I recall, you have stated that you have read everything that Nikki has written. And not many people can say that, because it's extensive.
Well, I kind of brag that way. I don't know if it's true or not, but I know that not a whole lot has escaped my attention over the years.
And I also invite Cohen Jacobs is in the Philippines, and he's recently come into this group of people that are aware of communitarianism and the extent of a problem that is worldwide. And Cohen started a smaller group, the ACL of the Philippines. And in Facebook, he posted immediately a really wonderful memorial to Nikki with photos. And he has been communicating with Nikki over the past year or two. And he really wanted to come on to say a few words. And I don't see him. So I believe I need to bring him on in another manner. I did also want to read a commemorative gesture that PTL Media Now too had sent to me, because over the past couple months he's put together some short, concise videos on communitarianism, including one covering Nikki's work starting in Seattle, and we've played them on Mitzi's show. I wanted to share that as well, but I want to make sure all our guests are on that want to say hello and speak. So
Jenna, maybe you can get one of the people to get started, and then you can be working on that.
Sure.
Well, if anybody here wants to talk.
Yeah, absolutely. Sean, do you want to start out? I think you're one of her oldest friends.
Yeah, I'm fine to start out, and I didn't prepare anything, so I'll just go off the cuff here. So, you know, I've been studying and looking into all manner of strangeness on the internet for a very long time, you know, I credit Nikki and Nordica's work for really clearing up the water for me on, you know, like back in the day, I was looking at all the information surrounding 9/11. And of course, that leads you down 10,000 rabbit holes. And I kept seeing the Hegelian dialectic pop up as a subject. And I had a vague idea of what it was and that it came from the philosopher Hegel and that it kind of meant problem, reaction, solution. But I wanted to know more. So I Googled, what is the Hegelian dialectic? And I found on nord.twu, that's where the ACL research used to be, there was an explanation. I think there was some kind of a poll there where you could vote. And you know, so I was like, okay, this is great. This is really in depth. And the more I looked, the farther the research went. And I mean, it was just hundreds and hundreds of pages, including every strand and strain that would come off of, you know, of the Hegelian dialectic. And of course, I landed on the information from Nikki and Nordica about how, because of their experience in the city of Seattle, trying to help uselessly their landlord to fight an eminent domain issue, that they had stumbled into this very little known, you know, kind of revolutionary secret behind the scenes philosophical push to, I would say, to synthesize monopoly capitalism and communism. And it's called communitarianism. And of course, I was immediately hooked, because on the internet, when you're looking at controversial truths and research, what you do is you find a whole bunch of misinformation, and you find even more disinformation, where the intelligence agencies and the governments of the world are intentionally paying people to muddy the water and create false narratives to make parallel stories to the truth. And Nikki and Nordica's work cleared that up for me in my life for the first time, where I felt like I saw it. It clicked. This is something different than I've ever found before. And these people appear to be not affiliated with any group. They've started their own group, but it's a very loosely put together group of just opposing the new ideology that they'd found. And so what I did is I immediately emailed Nikki. I think it was September 9th, 2007. I went and looked in my archive the other day and just thanked her and told her how awesome I thought it was. And that was the beginning of a lifelong friendship up until just a few days ago, when she so shockingly passed away. And so I'm just here because there's not really anyone else. There's not any other set of people that I could say affected the course of my research. And then by default, like, you know, the fibers of my life, like it really changed the way, because you're always looking for stuff. And what you find is a lot of spooks. And so you end up with a lot of invitations to blame people. You know, you blame the church, or you blame the CIA or the other intelligence agencies, or you blame the Jews. And instead, when something comes along that makes you be able to understand everything and it clicks, and then you can start to see the various pieces of the communitarian puzzle all over the place, and what was masking it and hiding it behind kind of what I call, you know, kind of New World Order bullshit, you know, instead of calling it the New World Order and sounding like Alex Jones, when you can use a word like communitarianism and reference it to people with primary source documentation coming straight from the UN or straight from a government agency or straight from a think tank. It was just that was the big start for my my vision to really clear in the way that I was able to approach learning the truth online, and of course eventually starting to share it with other people. And so, I mean, I can't really give enough credit to these ladies for A, being willing to be brave enough to confront what they had found, and B, for sticking with it for so long, despite so many, and they've been under attack. They've been, you know, in a position of poverty for so long, because it's so hard to function in this world if you intentionally remove yourself from the dialectical games and try to just exist, you know. I mean, that's the joke most of us say, right? Like, if they would just leave us alone, give us 5 acres and fresh water and some seeds, then we would be happy. But that is just not part of the plan of these secret hidden entities that have all this machinations for power. They really don't like the idea that we would just turn our back and allow them to do whatever they're going to do, but don't include us, you know. So. And I guess I could keep going, but if anyone else wants to talk, it's okay too. I know we're just kind of off the cuff here. That's like the most basic version of my story, finding what we call the ACL, Anti-Communitarian League.
Thank
that
you.
That was well said, Sean. That was well said.
Thank you.
Okay, I also just brought Vicky Stepanopoulos on. And Vicky, can you hear me? Are you on?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you.
I'm sorry for the delay. And you have known Nikki for a very long time. Sean, just I know you just got pulled in a little late. Sean did a great job. And talking to us about how he found Nikki's work and how it's affected him and how it just stood out as like, this is it. And he has maintained relations since. So do you want to share your personal experience with Nikki and finding the ACL?
Yeah, I actually found Nikki the way a lot of other people do. It was because I found Rosa Corey talking about Agenda 21, and I ended up buying her book. And in the book, somewhere in there, I don't remember where, she mentions a few people by name. Nikki was one of them. And that's how I first found her work. And then I went looking for her because it seemed like there were gaps, things missing. So I went and found her. And at that time, their website wasn't up and running any longer, but you could get some basic information. And I knew that she and someone at the time named Nordica, because I didn't know who Nordica was at that time, wrote a book, which eventually I ended up buying a copy of, and then found her on Facebook, and it just sort of grew from there. That was about, I'm going to say, back in 2012. And, you know, I read her book. I researched a lot of the stuff that was in her book. And, you know, through communications, asking questions, and then eventually she and Nordica asked for some help researching some topics in a particular office of sustainability at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And that's, it just sort of grew from that point forward. And that's been, I don't know, like I said, in the beginning it was 2012, and I think I started helping them do some research back in 2014. And it just filled in gaps and holes of things that just didn't make sense. And of the things that I learned regarding Agenda 21, this gave it a broader scope, a fuller scope, things that I couldn't find other people talking about. And it started to make more sense as to what I saw going on. That's pretty much it.
And thank you.
It's just been a friendship built from that, and it's continued for many years.
Yeah, I do believe that the information exchange is a way for personal growth to happen and apply to wherever we are. And it's like this pattern recognition starts popping. And the people that you're recognizing these patterns for, that's a reason for, you know, the connectivity to keep building on what we're learning as we go. And I know that Nikki was always thanking the other people sending information her way. And that's how the hub of information exchange works. It's like, I learned from you. How about this? And that sort of connection are the strongest bonds in my life. And this news where Nikki's gone, it's like, oh, I want to raise a glass to her, as Breiser would say in Ireland, and honor her because there's a connection that has grown really thick with understanding this world. And I think, Lark, your work has blossomed from all of the research that you started with when you found Nikki's work. Do you want to share your experience?
Well, sure. I got online in 2004. I had a small business. And I was a latecomer to the internet. I didn't trust it. I felt awkward about it. I quickly learned that anything you said or did or wrote about was forever captured information. It was always going to come back to haunt you somehow in some way. And so I had a kind of a wary attitude about the internet. And anyway, I got online in 2004. People were saying that, well, you know, you got to be on the internet nowadays if you're going to be a business person. And where have you been? You know, if you don't have a digital calling card, I mean, for a lot of folk, you don't exist. And so that didn't make sense to me, because at the time, everybody that was in my line of work knew about me. Anyway, without the internet, I didn't have a website, any of those things. But anyway, as soon as I got on the internet, I quickly realized there was a word that I encountered. In fact, there was a lot of things I encountered that I'd never encountered before. And I said to myself, well, maybe I'll just give this new technology a chance, because, I mean, I've got the library at my fingertips, and I'm, you know, I have an opportunity with this new whiz bang device to learn about all the gaps in my own education, you know, all the questions that still lingered in my life about the law and government and learning about other people. So I thought, well, that couldn't be such a bad thing. And so I encountered, I'm sorry.
And you found Nikki.
Well, I encountered a word, and the word was communitarian. And the word communitarianism. So I said to myself, what the hell? I've never heard anybody say this word. What does it mean? And I looked it up, and it had a vague definition in the dictionaries and the like. I didn't see really any encyclopedic entries, but apparently it was a word that people in academia were banding about, you know, in foundations and think tanks and the like. And it seemed like it was kind of a specialized language. And so I was just curious, and it didn't take long before I encountered Nikki's work at the Anti-Communitarian League. And just by doing keyword searches and then also living outside the dialectic, her blog, I started running into articles that she was posting, like at newswithviews.com. And so I was delighted to learn about her work. I read the Anti-Communitarian Manifesto online for free. And I read, you know, about the Hegelian dialectic. I mean, all these things were rather new to me, because I'd always been rather apolitical. So, but it was where I really connected with Nikki was on her blog, beginning about 2004. And I resonated with her, because I said to myself, you know, this girl embodies what it means to be an American. And I connected with her because she's a couple years younger than myself. We're about the same age. In fact, my younger brother, or your younger, had the same birthday as Nikki. Nikki was born August 3rd, 1956, my brother, 1955. And my younger sister, Lori, was a year younger than Nikki. And I quickly started even connecting with Nordica, because, I mean, I've got a niece that's Nordica's age, has a master's degree in teaching in California today. But yeah, I just thought that, you know, Nikki was, you know, my kind of girl. I mean, she's asking questions, and she's not afraid to approach these big shots in academia. People like Amitai Etzioni. Because all she was doing was what any normal person would do. She's asking questions. She's trying to satisfy a curiosity. And unfortunately, this is something that too many people today, they put aside. They quit asking questions at some point in their lives. They no longer were curious, because all of a sudden they had a mortgage. They had a family. They had obligations. They had a job. They had a career. They had classes in school and all that stuff. And so, just like what happened to so many of us, we quit asking questions about this life and in this world. And I must say that I know how lonely that was for Nikki and Nordica. I remember the war on words that she worked, that she looked up, because see, I had a particular affinity for language and the language arts. And she was trying to present this idea of the Hegelian dialectic to their, to Nikki's dad. I also related to Nikki because she was a military dependent, and so was I. And I had family members that were in the armed services and so forth. And although many things about Nikki in her life were very different from mine, you know, she grew up north, you know, in the, I think, the Midwest. You know, she went to college in Massachusetts. And a lot of these things were foreign to me. I didn't relate to people from this part of the country because I'd never been there particularly. But just to keep my remarks short, I found myself going, because I knew Nikki was doing the same thing. She was connected. She knew how to do keyword searches on the internet. I think Nordica is the one that probably helped introduce her to the internet. And I remember Nikki saying that nord.tw.net was actually a domain name that was taken out by Nordica when she was 9 years old. And I just loved all of that. But
yeah.
So anyway, I went to her website nearly every day for several years because I wanted to keep up with what her research was doing, and Nikki would weigh in on her research. And I myself would comment anonymously oftentimes in those years before I started using the moniker Larkin, Texas. And we're both doing the same research. And so I knew she was onto something important and it needed to be talked about. And I've championed her work ever since.
Thank you. Cohen Jacobs, you're staying up late in the Philippines. Are you there? Cohen.
Is he muted? No, I don't think he's muted. Maybe.
I see him in here. I just had my internet reset on me. So, you know, it's possible that we could be seeing some fluctuations here.
Yeah. I've gotten kicked off a couple of times so far. No.
Yeah.
I just got kicked. I don't know what's going on.
You know what?
Cohen just got booted, so maybe they're going to try to come back in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There he is. Hey, guys,
you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I had a problem with my connection here.
Yeah, your sound is far off. It sounds like you're in a little microphone or you're talking through a tunnel. But please share your experience with Nikki Rapana and how she's impacted your world perspective.
Well, it's very interesting because, first of all, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Me and Nikki, we come from a very, very different background. And land on the same conclusion, that's for me very interesting. So what Nikki did for the, more than two decades, I only found her work about, 2 years ago. And then whatever I was doing at the time, suddenly Nikki's work was presented to me by somebody. And then suddenly all of that had a name. So everything that I was finding out and all the dots that I was connecting, I didn't have a name for it, but I felt it was all connected in some way. And then when I found Nikki's work, well, she said, well, it's just called communitarianism. That's just the way it is. And then everything just locked in together, like this whole puzzle. It just made sense. It just made sense all the way from top to bottom. And what I like most about Nikki's work and Nordica's work, I don't want to exclude Nordica, is that they don't shy away from naming the actual cults that are involved in this. They don't shy away from the root of this whole oppression, this whole tyranny, this whole manufactured tyranny. They actually have the guts to say it like it is. It comes from a Jewish person. It has roots in the Jewish religion, the Kabbalah, and so forth and so forth. And that's something that really surprised me, that somebody was out there who really dared to say that. We come from very different perspectives, but still we end in the same conclusion. And for me, that's something, it has to be true, because if we come from this kind of different perspectives, Nikki in Alaska, me in Belgium or the Philippines, and we come to the same conclusion based on our own separate research and findings, I think that's something that tells a lot about where we are and where we come from and what's happening. Yeah, that will be my statement.
Thank you. Thank you, Cohen. I agree. We're all coming from very different backgrounds, and honoring the life of Nikki is also bringing up some of her accomplishments. And PTL Media now is doing a short series of videos I mentioned before, but he found a letter from Nikki to the FBI, August 10th, 2005, regarding the current Franklin AI APAC probe. She writes, "I'm an independent American researcher studying the communitarian network. Over the years, I've noticed several FBI investigations of Israeli spies operating in high-level government offices. My concern is that I never see Amitai Etzioni's name included on any lists of persons who may have information to share with the FBI related to espionage activities. My research confirms Etzioni's ties to Israel are very strong, and his position as a soldier terrorist in the Israeli War for Independence in 1948 placed him in a very high-level military capacity. Etzioni's influence on President Bush and Clinton is on record, so one could also assume he has a very high-level security clearance in the U.S. I would think he'd be a valuable resource. I founded the Anti-Communitarian League in 2001 after I found the evidence that the Communitarian Network advocates for the elimination of the U.S. Bill of Rights. Political communitarianism is a false ideology based in the principles of no reason established by George Hegel in 1812. I've put my whole life on hold to study this ideology, and while it might not make any sense to you why I did it, I want it on the record that I established the ACL because I love my country and that all the work I've done is to protect and defend our laws. While I adamantly oppose the new communitarian programs funded by the NIJ, and I probably know way more about Compass program than I need to know, I have all along been positive that the regular people working at the FBI are as committed to defending the Constitution of the U.S. as I am. Obviously, my investigative style is non-traditional, but my information is solid. Thank you for all your sincere efforts to maintain our safety and defend the integrity of the American institutions. Sincerely, Nikki Rapana, Anti-Communitarian League. And then her website, nord.twu.net/ACL. And it was sort of a joke, but the sincerity behind Nikki and how she was just heart on her sleeve, knowing what's right and wrong. And, you know, she just went with the flow. And here we are almost 20 years later. And it's still the same energy that was coming through here, that I've gleaned some confidence in knowing my own independence is worth more than any program or any law, any mandate that is rolling out all around us at this time. So thank you for letting me share that. And thank you, PTL Media, for sharing it with me. Anyone else want to say something? I know that Breiser hasn't gotten a chance. Is he with us, Breiser? Oh, I do not see him. And also, we tried Hans Utter because he wanted to chime in as well. Both are not in. Both are unavailable at this point. So maybe we can go around to Sean. Would you like to speak again on what you'd like to share?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I could talk about Nikki Rapona all day, and oftentimes I do. You know, on Twitter, I share things that have a kind of a communitarian vibe to them, and I'll hashtag it. So if you go to Twitter and search under my name with the hashtag communitarianism, you'll find lots of links. And that's the thing is that I loved about the ACL research and the way that Nikki presented it. I mean, Nordica was always there and always deeply involved, and she's kind of the ultimate behind-the-scenes character. I don't know how many interviews she's done, but it's not very many. But so it's always important to include Nordica, but also to acknowledge her position as not being, you know, it's like Nikki would do all the research and writing, and then Nordica would help in her own way to either edit things down or to present them in a certain way. I know there was lots of behind the scenes disagreements and, you know, negotiating about how things should be presented and what time and in what place. And, you know, the thing is that, one of the main reasons I found Nikki was because in all of this stuff, you find so much weird disinformation and so much, so many strategies of ways that they use to hide or obfuscate or omit information. And so I would say that to find Nikki and Nordica's work versus finding Rosa Corey or anyone that's calling using this term technocracy is a common word that you use instead of communitarianism. And, you know, I've had people ask me why I'm so stuck on it. And I know that was a big thing for Nikki in the beginning, or back in, maybe not in the beginning, but back in the earlier years, that they would say, you know, well, people aren't going to learn that word, or we could promote you more if you would just stop using that word. Or, you know, they just, like, there's confusion around the word. And we've even speculated that the word itself is some kind of spell. And the more I've studied magic and occultism and esotericism, I would say that that's definitely true, that whatever this word is has a terrific magical quality. It took me years to learn how to say it and spell it right, because there's just a real pull on this word to not just be accepted into the nomenclature and pushed to the front. And all of these years later, I'm getting an echo there. It's okay. All these years later, we're finally starting to really see it be used in common parlance, in the nomenclature, in news articles, in more and more documents. And I would say that that's a big takeaway, that the reason that it's so important to actually identify the word itself and what it really means, to not just call it a new version of communism. It is not communism. Communitarianism is a synthesis of what I would call all the worst parts of capitalism and all the worst parts of communism, so that they're developing a new system, something different than what had existed before. And the reason it's so important to identify it by the word itself and not use the New World Order and not use technocracy and not use any of these other terms that we might have used in the past or that might be popular, is because the main thing I think that Nikki would want people to take away from what she and Nordic had discovered was that she had uncovered the actual legal architecture worldwide. So it would have been international legal architecture budding and cropping up of evidence of these people creating a real system. I would say that we're seeing the really active process now of them moving us off of whatever the old system is and trying to slide the whole house onto the foundation of this new system, along with their lies and excuses surrounding this alleged pandemic, along with the cryptocurrency and all the blockchain technology being part of their getting away from an old-fashioned cash society. It's the fact that it actually can be found to be in legal documents, you know, and in English, and especially in the United States, it's harder. You have to scratch pretty hard at the ground to get to the good stuff. But I remember how many things that she had posted, especially in French. You know, they were a lot more open. And in South America, you know, they call the police forces down there in some of those South American countries, they actually call them the communitarian police. Whereas here we would call it a cops program. you know, which stands for Citizens on Patrol, or maybe I remember the ABCD, Asset-Based Community Development, or Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. These are things that people have heard of. And I would say these words are terms that mask the more important and underlying truth of the actual term communitarian, because it's important to understand the ideological position these people are coming from. And like Cohen said, okay, so we do have evidence that the roots are found in Kabbalism, in Talmudism, and that the man who calls himself the founder and the founder of the communitarian network coming out of George Washington University, Amitai Adzioni, whose real name was Werner Falk, and he was a German Jew who had fled Germany at the time of World War II, and changed his name to Amitai Adzioni, which means tree of life in Zion. And another important piece is to know that Nikki and Nordica were focusing on trying to bring the religious spiritual side of this more to the front, because you'll find that most of her work is focused really on the minutiae of the political dilemma that surrounds communitarianism. But underlying all of that is a spiritual and metaphysical and philosophical position. And then that really ties the whole room together, so to speak, kind of like the Big Lebowski's rug, you know, like if you can start to wrap your head around the spiritual piece and why these people think that that it's OK to draw people towards this new and very different ideology. I don't know. I feel like at this point, just in case no one's ever heard it, I'm going to try to summarize. And please, I trust you guys to correct me if I'm wrong. But what they say communitarianism is, if you find the most basic kind of Wikipedia type definition, they claim that that it's a balancing, so they would say that maybe the in the West we've focused for too long on the concept of individual rights, that we've been overly focused on the power and the sovereignty of the individual, and that because we have an overbalance on the side of individuality, that we need to, they would say, balance or harmonize that power with the rights of the quote unquote community. And sometimes they'll say global community or the worldwide community. And so that's really the core ideology that they're working from. And of course, the reason a lot of us have a knee-jerk reaction and start to feel like we want to take active steps to expose it is because that's false. That's wrong. The community can't even be accurately agreed upon as a definition of what it is. The definition that people with big stakes in all of these types of movements have, their definition of what is quote unquote community versus what we might have as a gut feeling to ourselves. When I say, oh yeah, I love my local community, that means something very different than if the local HOAs are all getting together and they're going to change their bylaws according to some new law that's just been passed. What they say when they say that they're trying to work within the community, it means two very different things. So the idea that we can take individual liberty and rights and somehow balance or harmonize it against the alleged nebulous, undefinable, quote unquote, community is just patently false. And that's the reason to understand, you know, why there's a push. Why does this light up the switchboard for so many people? Well, it's because we know that the only thing we can exist as in this realm, as we are in bodies, you know, whatever this this consciousness as the human experience is, it all stems back to individuality, period. There's no way to share your experience as a human with anyone else. All we can do is attempt to communicate that through words, through writing, through actions. And so, of course, foundationally, the reality is that individualism is the only real existent thing, because that's what we are all experiencing and we can't get out of it. And so the idea that you're supposed to take that power of the individual and siphon it off or balance it or harmonize it with anything else is just patently false, you know. And so I'd say those things, you know, that the philosophy of what they're claiming that they're trying to do, combined with the idea to really understand that communitarianism is not communism, it's not technocracy, it's not any of these other nebulous New World Order type of terms. It's a very specific thing coming from a legal architecture that Nikki and Nordica were able to discover by doing hours and hours and endless research, going through piles, literally like storage units full of documents, that much information over and over again to keep watching the progress develop. I'd say that's I don't want to ramble too long, but I would say to get anything on the record, that there's a reason why this rings true to so many people. And there's also a reason why we find less than honest gatekeeper types and disinformation artists wanting to poo-poo it or to replace the term with something else. It's because of the legal architecture and the philosophy behind it, and the fact that it's provably false. You know, it's demonstrably false. You know, you can't have communitarianism because there's no such thing as the agreed upon community. And I mean, if as a group we wanted to all say go get 100 acres and live together as a commune and then have our own version of communitarianism that was something that we did agree upon because we had all openly agreed what our community is, and we were willing to constantly come back to that definition and maintenance the idea together so that we either continue to agree or if we disagree to work it out or to part ways. Now that's different. We could have a very righteous and just and good community that way, and we could even call it communitarianism. But what these people are doing is using this word, kind of getting everybody stuck with the feel-good attitude of heart on your sleeve. You know, we definitely want clean air. We want clean water. We want a strong community. But behind and underneath of that, they're cutting up the whole, all of the resources and all of the data and all of the money privately amongst themselves. And on the front side, they're making this allegation that it's all for the good of the community. But the truth is that it's really for the good of their own personal community, which is completely hidden and obfuscated. And, they're not open at all about what they're actually doing. And so I think that's far enough to ramble for now. Please, someone else take off from there. But yeah, I wanted to get that on the record. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was very good. And you know what I was thinking in the back of my mind? I listened to Etzioni interview, and at one time he was asked, well, how are we going to get these changes or for Americans to accept these changes? And he just said point blank, well, we'll shame them into it. And yeah, that's how an ideology kind of takes a foothold. And seeing how they did that with like the smoking, for example, you know, it was this shaming complex that people just like, I'm a smoker, but like all of a sudden you weren't able to do it there and people were policing each other. I think it's a really good example of how they're moving this along. And same with the masks. It's this shaming, and then some people get militant about it. And it's like, really, what are they proving by this? Pushing somebody else's thoughts on your physical body to enact this mask mandate. And I think it was most telling in these past 2 years. But Sean, that was wonderful how you articulate your views on communitarianism. I really appreciate it, and I'm glad it's on record. Breiser came back. Yes, thank you. Breiser, you came back. Would you like to share some thoughts?
Yeah, sorry about that, folks. I don't know what happened. Just after the introductions, internet just went for half an hour. But I'm back. Yeah, well, first of all, I want to pass on my sincere condolences to Nordica and her children. Must be a very, very difficult time for her right now. And you know, she's going to go through a tough time. But, you know, as I say, time's a great healer. And, you know, as long as we get, you know, she's got a lot of support and all that, she'll, you know, she'll get through it. So, and you know, it was a pleasure for me to get to know Nikki and actually get her on my radio show, because I've been trying to do that for quite a while. And of course, Nikki being living in Alaska and all the rest is very hard to get a hold of. But, you know, eventually we did get her on the show, and kept in communication, actually talked to her a couple of times, and Nordica as well. And great conversations, you know. She was a very bubbly person. She had a sense of humor, and we kind of got on very well. And so I was quite very shocked when I heard the news. And it's also very sad because it's during the week as well. I had a very good friend of mine that I went to school with also passed away. And unfortunately, he got the jabs, you know. So it's been a tough all week, you know. Two people gone like that, you know. So, but yeah, I mean, as I said, when I heard about Nikki first, it was about 2014, around that time. And I heard her on the Jeff Renz show. And it was a show that actually goes back to 2008, and explained this communitarianism, because I'd never heard of it before. But it really piqued my interest, because the stuff she was saying kind of resonated with me, and I could see it myself, but I didn't kind of have a clear understanding of it. So I kind of said, I need to know more about this. And I looked up her work and stuff, and I said, oh, right, now this is very interesting. It's this merger between communism and capitalism, and it's all about this wonderful community, and we all have to live together in harmony and love and light and all this kind of stuff. And I said, yeah, I can see this is why they would go this way. And then I came across Lark, obviously, and, you know, he's been on various radio shows, and he brought, you know, explained it even more. And then again, you know, as I said, eventually I got Nikki on, which again on my show, which is great. So it's a very, very sad time for us all, you know, because she was a great woman. She put an awful lot of work into what she did, you know, herself and Nordica. And she did her best to get the word out there. And even though she went quiet for a long time, she came back there towards the end, and she was quite active on Facebook there and putting the word out. So, you know, she'll be sadly missed, that's for sure. So I'll pass it over from there.
Thank you. Yeah, she will be missed. And from my standpoint, I had the experience of being a single mom, and the connection between Nikki and Nordica and how much of their lives supported each other, worked with it, and also with the grandkids, that Nikki played a major role in Nordica's children. And that must be very hard. And I've been scanning through Facebook and listening to Nordica's ideas as she's sharing them to people that really care, hundreds of people. And she's feeling a void. She feels like her sun and her moon have been taken away. She's feeling small and alone. And this is a sudden event that's going to change her life forever. And that's why I really appreciate this show being dedicated to the impact and growth that has come from their family. And hopefully it'll continue and it changes. But all of the people that these people that they have touched, I really appreciate. And I think maybe it could be time for Vicky to say something if you'd like.
I want to expand a little bit on some of the stuff that Sean mentioned. And it just, before I do that, yes, my condolences go out to Nordica and her boys. They were such a big part of Nikki's life, and they meant so much to her. And I know those boys, Nordica's boys, were very, very close with Nikki, so I can only imagine what that whole family is going through at this time. And my heart goes out to all of them. But getting back to some of the stuff that Sean was saying, you know, I actually think the reason why they like to focus on words like community, or if you go back farther, you can find that they used to use the word society quite a bit before they started using community, is because it is vague. This way it leaves the listener or the reader open to assuming what that word means to them and adopting it in that way. And I think that's part of what's so devious about it. It allows people to make assumptions based on what they think, feel, or believe a community is without thinking about it greater. I don't know. I guess that's really all I wanted to say at this point in time, is expanding on the word community and how it's left so vague. And I think they purposely leave it undefined for those reasons, because it can be very misleading for people.
I agree. Vicky, I think that you mentioning just the word open society, I listened to George Soros speaking at maybe the World Economic Forum just recently, and he used a double play with how the open society would be part of the solution. And I know that that's also the name of his foundation, the Open Society. And I also know that Etzioni, Nikki had shared with me back in 1979, she read Etzioni's book, Brother's Keeper, that he was one of the first members of the Open Society way back in 79. So they've known each other. They were close family friends, and that's how they play it. They use that term intentionally.
They seem to like to use terms that can be, you know, that can go in very different ways. And we always seem to forget or overlook. And this is, you know, most people do this. I do this. But words have more than one meaning. And we don't always know how someone is using the words we hear them use, whether we listen to it or read it. I'll never forget, like, one time with some of the research I was doing for Nikki and Nordica, I had found a document from a Tbilisi conference. It was a UN conference on the environment. And this was back in, either it was the late 60s or early 70s. And the way in which they used the word environment got me thinking about that word. And I'm like, well, how often do we hear things like, you know, an economic environment, an education environment? They do the same thing with words like climate. It's this, so, like, you have to start asking yourself, well, what is it do they mean when they use these words? And, you know, we hear environment or words like climate or even community, and we assume what someone is saying when they use those terms, but we don't always really fully know. And that was a big thing for me after I got further into it. I just started really focusing on words, and that was something Nikki and I used to talk about. I'm like, well, what do they mean by this? Because it can mean all these other things too. And I think it becomes very important whenever you're looking at what someone is openly speaking about. I don't care if it's your local news. I don't care if it's the Soroses of the world or the World Economic Forum. You have to scrutinize. And if you don't scrutinize, you can always be misled because they like to couch it in nice language. It sounds so good. And I can tell you, there were probably many things before I ever found Nikki and Nordica's work that I had heard, and I probably, without thinking about it much, may have adopted if I hadn't learned otherwise. And I think that's another reason why it becomes imperative that more and more people understand what it is that they're being sold or being conditioned to think about things in the way in which someone else wants them to think about them. I don't know. It's just my thoughts.
Thank you. This is a short station break. We'll be back at the top of the hour.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. On Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Hi, I'm Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, court, and federal law. fools and losers claim to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
The original machine had a base plate of prefamulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fam. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocoptic marsal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet. I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, welcome back. We are here commemorating Nikki Rapana. And we just heard from Vicky Stepanopoulos. Did I say that right? She was explaining how words have double use, and there's a double speak, code speak, news speak back from 1984. There's a way that it almost seems like opposite world to me when they mean one thing when really it's something like the opposite of what they're intending. And I think what has come into the communitarian business world is the environmental social governance, where either you're in or out because you have to play that game to maintain or be accredited in this new economy that they're planning. And I think that there are loopholes. So many people too busy to really think about what they're doing might be agreeing to these terms, and they're agreeing to equity and all those buzzwords that we're familiar with the sustainable development goals. Even that, sustainable development, there's so many words that come to mind that we've gone to Nikki Rapana's double tongue dictionary, and I've read through that a couple of times, and that's in her book 2020, Our Common Destiny, the Anti-Communitarian Manifesto. And for that to be written over 10 years ago, there's more and more of those words that newer researchers like Cindy Niles and Julianne Romanello, who have been in communication with Nikki and have learned from her, read her book, and they're building on that dictionary of words that they're seeing as part of a pattern to recognize and also apply in your local area. And Lark, I know you've sent out email blasts collecting some of these words. I was maybe hoping you could share some of the ones off the top of your head.
Well, sure. There's so many of them. I first want to say that I put a few things in the freedomslips.com revolution.radio chat room that might be of interest for some of the listeners. But communitarianism, we need to understand, is simply a school of thought. That's what any word ending with the suffix ism means. And within every school of thought, you will always find variants of opinion. It's simply a way to categorize a particular direction of thinking. That's all it is. And I'm reminded of propaganda pieces like a cartoon in 1948, Make Mind Freedom. You can find it on the internet. They didn't want, Americans living in flyover country to concern themselves with these isms, words, because they're all poison. You know, somebody's trying to sell you something. It's snake oil and all that other kind of stuff. So the truth is a lot of people are not going to relate to a word like communitarianism or even communitarian laws simply because it's not something material through their lives. It's not a dog. It's not a house. It's not the lawn. It's not a lawnmower. It's not a chainsaw. It's not something real. And so it shouldn't concern them because it's much ado about nothing. And the Christians will say, well, you know, he's talking about vain philosophies. And the Bible says, you know, you're not supposed to engage in vain philosophies because this is against the teachings of the Lord. And so you got a whole swath of American people that think somehow even talking about this subject is doing the devil's work, devil's handiwork. And that's always been very troubling to me. I know that there's a lot of smart people out there. I mean, much smarter than me. But I mean, you just can't engage people. And so for me, the mission to continue Nikki's work into the future, and I honestly think Nordica's voice should continue her work in the future. And I dare say I think Nordica's going to see to it, because I think that they're going to have a unique perspective and they're going to be leaders in their own right in the years to come. But yeah, communitarianism is at once a philosophy, an ideology, a system, and a language. And when we talk about language, we have to realize that what Eric Blair uncovered about Orwellian newspeak or doublethink, as we know these terms from 1984, are things that he came up with because of his association with the Tavistock Institute, and especially a linguist by the name of C.K. Ogden. And that was during the years of World War II. And he was basically working for a guy named Major John Rawlins Reese, who was associated with the Tavistock Institute. And so there's a lot of words in the language that are being bandied about that we as regular folk, we hear as meaning one thing. They seemingly are innocuous. They're harmless sounding. They fly right over our heads and they mean nothing. But I remember back in the early days after discovering that there was some kinship with people like Nikki and Nordica and Bobby Garner and Sean Alger and, a few dozen other people that were onto this subject and were researching it, that I remember watching the Sunday talk shows. And I don't really give a damn about the Sunday talk shows, but I always wanted to know what all these smart people were talking about. And so there was a kind of morbid curiosity, I suppose. But yeah, they were bandying about communitarian code speak, which is nothing more than Orwellian newspeak that has been brought forward to today. Instead of being from the 40s and the 50s, it's been brought forward to the days that we are living now. And there are literally dozens, if not hundreds, of these turns of phrase and terms of art, words, which we think mean one thing, but they have a more particular, specific meaning as they are bandied about by people who may or may not even realize that they are communitarians by their very actions, by their very deeds, by their very words. Because unfortunately, we've got a huge swath of the population that is quite success oriented. They are driven for success. They want to please a future paymaster. They want their neighbors to find favor with what they do, what they say, how they live, how they present themselves. This is normal human behavior. And So these are the people that are actually leading the charge. And I dare say most of them don't even realize that they are dupes, unwitting dupes and useful idiots. And they, in fact, may be shills instead. They know precisely what they're doing. They're pleasing their paymasters because they want to advance. They want more money, more position, more status, more power. And this is a red-blooded American kind of a thing to be, is success-driven. So that's the significance of this word, communitarianism. It is indeed the camel's nose under the tent, as John describes it, as Nikki found out. They do not believe that anybody has rights unaccompanied by duties and responsibilities. I mean, this is old-fashioned. You know, the idea of this thing called the Constitution, well, it's a living constitution. They don't give a damn about the originalist understanding of the words, the terms used within that document. But we have to recognize that the people on all sides of the political divide today, it doesn't matter if they call themselves liberal or conservative, Republicans or Democrats, or even libertarians or Greens or what have you, they're all contributing to our demise, our enslavement, because they're not touching upon the things that matter to that 8 and 9 and 10 year old little boy or little girl, as they have an opportunity to get to themselves, away from the siblings, away from mom and dad, away from their classmates, and decide the things that matter to them about this life and how they see themselves fitting themselves to it. You know, true. And this is what I champion. I champion that little boy or little girl because I do not want them to grow up in the same kind of enslavement that we were brought up in, made worse because now we live in a hyper-connected world with this technology. And so I don't want to belabor the point, but when you take away the dreams of an 8, 9, 10 year old little boy or little girl, I don't care where they live, what color they are, what language they speak, you're committing a crime. And I'm against it profoundly. Yeah. Am I against that? And this is why I continue to do the work I do. And it's it's people like Nikki Rapana and her daughter and people that have surrounded her research that, I revere the most in this life because these people are real. They are real and they care and they are discerning and they understand that they're not a perfect instrument any more than I consider that I'm a perfect instrument. But you know what? Communitarianism is the one word that all of us do not know about, but that we need to know about. And it is the one word in the English language that I know damn well is not being talked about, as evident by the fact that nobody even knows what the fuck it, what it means or what it portends or how it impacts upon law or anything else in their lives and their futures.
Wow. Great. Okay. And thank you so much, Lark. That was, I really got a lot out of what you just said. That was really wonderful. And we got a couple of people with their hands up. So Jenna, I don't know who they are because I can't see it on my screen.
Oh yeah. Cohen. Cohen, you put your hands up and then Vicky. So Cohen, then Vicky, please take it away.
Yeah. So can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay, fine. So something that I really want to make a big deal of is that Nikki wrote and messaged and talked and wrote about that many times, that it was about Community 2020. So it cannot be by any accident that in March or on March 11, 2020, that the communitarian agenda was rolled out. That's not by accident. It's really planned out in advance. So it's really important that people understand that this agenda is not just a theory. There is a theory And then there is a practice, and then they actually do it. And so that's what we've been seeing for the past, two plus years. So it's not by accident that the Agenda Community 2020 was rolled out in 2020. It's really planned, deliberate, and we are living in that. So if people say, but yeah, that's just a conspiracy theory. No, it's not a theory. You've been experiencing this agenda for the past 2+ years. And one can only imagine what's next in that agenda. And some of us, or most of us in this conversation, maybe all of us, can imagine what's next in this agenda. So it's very important that people understand that this is planned in advance, decades in advance, because when Nikki found about the communitarian agenda, that was in the late 90s, 99, 2000. So now the year is 2020. We are more than 2 decades later. This is all planned in advance, and anybody who says otherwise is misinformed, or is just I dare use the word stupid, or just a useful idiot. So everything that we see, it's not by accident. So the next landmark will be 2030. So what's the plan for 2030? Well, people should become a part of the Internet of Everything, but I will not join that. And I think the 10 or 12 people in this conversation, we will not join that. So it's very important that we send that message, that this whole system is not by accident. Whatever the World Economic Forum and the United Nations are planning, and even, by the way, with the monkeypox, just on the side, this is not by accident. So I want to emphasize that this is planned in advance, and they know exactly what they are doing. And on top of that, you have, for example, Freemasons societies, they are bound to follow that, because they too follow the cabal doctrine. So they are bound to show allegiance to that. And as we know, in any country, from South Africa to Belgium or France or anywhere, we know that most of our politicians, which we did not vote into power anyway, are part of those societies. And they enforce that, and they make it happen, because they are bound by that. And that will be my statement. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I agree. And you have a website, because you have been doing a lot of conspiracy research, and you have put together a website, truthcaster.co, and we've been following your articles. You write very well, and I appreciate that. I also, I want to prompt the next hand that raised, and that was Vicky. Vicky, what would you like to say?
Yeah, I think a lot of this, part of what I've done as I've grown from where I first started following Nikki and Nordica's work and learning and then expanding that on my own sort of thing, is as well as the Big Mother's Double Tongue Dictionary and being a war on words, is, like I mentioned before, we have to really think about how words are used. I've come to a point where I actually love words. I look at everything about words. I want to know the etymology, every definition I can find. And one of the things that I forgot to mention earlier that I think is important, that And it's going to be different for people outside of the States. And sorry to be so American in my perspective, but that's the only place I know how to focus. If you go to Black's Law Dictionary, and I'm looking at the fourth edition, you can find it online for free, the PDF. Public is defined as a community. So under the noun, it's the whole body politic or the country, the state, or community. And as an adjective, it's defined as pertaining to a state, a nation, or a whole community proceeding from, relating to, or affecting the whole body of people, or an entire community, open to all, notorious, common to all or many, general, open, common. But it also goes on to say belonging to people at large, relating to or affecting the whole people of a state, nation, or community, not limited to or restricted to any particular class of the community. But it's interesting, all these different words that they even use within the definition, because when you look at something from a more international perspective, you could even make mention to the UN. So here in the States, we think of a state as, you know, Florida, California, Alaska. So when we read state, we automatically assume that's what it means. But at the international level and with the international law, only nations are states. So getting back to this word community, what is it that they mean by that if it's also the public at large, which can include an entire nation? So I just wanted to add that in as to how these words can be deceptive in their the way in which they're being used. That's pretty much it.
I'd like to weigh in on that if I can.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, see, that's very perceptive. You know, we are beguiled by language quite easily as a species, as individuals. And examples of that, you can go online and you can do a search, do it on Wikipedia if you wish. It's called List of Fallacies or List of Logical Fallacies. There's also List of Common Misconceptions. There's also the word sayings, which has an encyclopedia entry. Also adages, aphorisms. You know, there's such a thing as paraprosdokian saying. There are many words like this, and when you're confronted by the fact that we can be so easily beguiled by language, okay, remember it is these symbols called words which roil about in our heads, which very often inform our actions, our activities, you know, even what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, what's moral, what's ethical, and the like. And therefore, we have to, if we value things like independence and personal autonomy, exercise of free will and true freedom of choice, for instance, we have to understand that all of us have been socialized or socially engineered, whether we care to admit it or not. And this is a very important thing to recognize. And so if we care enough that we do not want to be enslaved and we do not want to be pushed around or put in a digital prison, a panopticon, then we're going to have to confront these facts about ourselves. And I could rattle off a whole lot of words that we think mean one thing, but they decidedly mean something else in the hands of these experts that are always trotted out, and we think that they're smarter than we are, and so we bend our will to theirs quite easily. Well, he's obviously a lot smarter than me, or she's got all these letters after her name, so surely she's better informed than I am. I mean, I've never really delved into these things, and so what do I know? And so it's important to recognize that in this system, because we're marinating in this system today, we have to recognize what I call the three C's. You know, you are either complicit, compliant, or you're complacent. And complacent is a word that has two different meanings according to the way it's spelled. There's the complacent, C-O-M-P-L-A-C-E-N-T, which means intellectual lethargy. And then there's the complacent, C-O-M-P-L-A-I-S-A-N-T. And what does that mean? That's a person who is gregarious, eager to please, you know, the get along type. And this is how this Hegelian dialectic moves history and moves people's actions. Okay? We want to belong. We want to be liked. And so we're compliant.
Well, Lark, I think you need to put another word in there that leaves room for people who are going to stand up and change things or take it back, take this whole thing back, like do what are each of us have a part in this picture. And like what you were saying about this social engineering, yeah, we've been socially engineered into those C's that you just listed, but there's got to be other, you got to leave room for people who are doing something else. So we have a couple of hands up. So thank you, Lark. And who was next, Jenna? I think Breiser's next.
Yeah, Breiser wanted to raise his hand. And then I do want to bring in, I do want to say something Brian wrote down for me after Breiser. Thank you.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I think, well, the last 2 years has definitely shown, you know, is a great example of what communitarianism is all about. And we all know what that is, you know, the common good, the greater good. You have to wear your mask. You have to do, you know, to keep everyone has to stay safe. And, you know, so we all saw that. And, you know, when I try to explain this to people who are kind of, who are awake and they kind of get have a good understanding what the Great Reset is and Agenda 21 is. And then I try to explain to them what communitarianism is, but that word seems to cause a blockage in their mind to say, oh, well, it's just communism, you know, and explain, well, it is in a way, but it's not, because under communism, you need a nation state. And under communitarianism, there will be no nation states, you know, but I'm still finding it very hard to get that word through to people and even people who are awake, you know, just put around the table. How can we break that? I think you put it in the chat there, Jenna, that Nikki mentioned that there's a magic spell in that word communitarianism, that when it's mentioned, people go, oh, here we go again. You know, people just don't want to go there. And it is a little bit frustrating. But, you know, we have been making moves here. You know, we have had some progress here on it because there more and more people are getting it, but it's still very small. And I think, you know, we do have a small window of time here to be, you know, to try and get people on board what this actually is, because it's everything that's bad, I think, about where we're going. There's nothing good about any of this at all. And you've got a whole combination of different things getting involved here. Like, obviously, it's going to be governments are all in control, religion, NGOs, charities, healthcare, you name it. It's all there under one big umbrella. And, you know, this hive mind Borg mentality, that's kind of going to be the new community. And it's just how do we whittle it down to a very nice, simple message of what this is? And I think that's where we need to be looking at, because it there seems to be a lot of layers to it. And we can go off on different tangents. And I think we just need a nice, concise message of what this communitarianism is. So I'll just put it back to others out there.
Thank you, Breiser.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. And I do remember Nikki saying that. She thought that there was some sort of spell on it. And the misinterpretation, for example, we have been getting on the missing link, and Jesse, he was exposed to the word communitarianism, and a few of the interviews that we've listened to of his guests. And most recently, I'll put the link in the chat. There was a young woman that we prompted Jesse to ask her, are you a communitarian? Because, she, you know, in the interview, she actually said, I'm terrified of being alone. And we all need to live in intentional communities. And why would anybody want to live alone in their own house with their own family? And she had worked for AmeriCorps, which she had no idea, you know, she really didn't know that there's a communitarian linkage to the World Economic Forum. And when Jesse asked her, are you a communitarian? She's like, well, yeah, I'm all about community. So as far as deception, like younger people that have pretty much undergone socialist training in the public schools, they have been herded into that group mentality, group projects, the social emotional learning, how do you feel, feelings are above facts. You know, there are generations coming up with this mindset that it is all about the community, and and going against the current of where everybody else is going is one in a few that can swim upstream or look up, put their head above the water to think, is there another way to do this thing called life? Because it doesn't seem very appealing. And here and there, I can hear a younger person maybe doing a broadcast or podcast that are questioning outside where this current is taking everyone, especially in regards to climate change, because that was pounded into these kids in public schools. I know that for a fact. So the missing link I will put in the chat, and the one interview that Jesse did June 16th was Toni Nagy. She was a stand-up comic and a content creator, quasi-radical, somewhat existential. And her point was, we all need love and acceptance. And how do we get that? And that's and her point was, that's above individual needs. That love and acceptance is far greater than individual worth. So, those are my comments. I'm not too sure who would like to speak next. Anyone?
Yeah. Yeah, so this whole idea about community, it's really a misconception, because in private messages with Nikki, I asked her, can you give me the shortest possible definition for communitarianism? And eventually we ended up with unelected governance. Mm-hmm. Of a transhumanist society. Well, I'm making it short. It's a little bit more than that. But so what we came to was it's an unelected governance, and that means local, national, and global. Transhumanists. We all know that agenda anyway, but especially what. From the messages that from her reply was that it's about micropolitics, micromanagement of people's lives. So this whole idea that communitarianism is about the community, that's not true. That's fake. It's 100% fake. It's about managing people's lives on the smallest scales possible. How many cigarettes you smoke, how many potatoes you eat, how many glasses of water you drink. So this is not community. This is tyranny. This is absolute tyranny. So this whole story about it's about the community, that's a distorted narrative about the reality, because it's not about the community. Because, for example, and that's very sensitive in the United States, gun restriction, that's very sensitive, and for right reasons, because in most of the other countries, including Europe and the UK and others, guns, weapons have been banned, so you are bound to kitchen knives and a ball pen if you want to defend yourself, which is ridiculous, of course. So this whole thing about community So who can own guns of the community? But who is the community? Who is that? Who really is that? That's not really one person or a group of people. Who is that? Who can really own the guns? You cannot own it because you're an individual. And that's even the statement of Agioni. It's not your right to own a gun. Only the community can own that. But who is that, the community? The police? No. Well, that's up for discussion also. Is the police really the community? That's up for discussion. So who really can defend himself against the tyranny of the community? Yeah, I think that's a good question. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you, Cohen. That was really well put. I wanted to just jump in here. I got a little thing in the mail from our little town here just yesterday, and they sent out a survey, and they're saying that if we don't fill out this survey, it's about where we get our water from, if we have any storage tanks, if we have a swimming pool, a hot tub, we have any kind of animal troughs, where a gray water system, rain catchment, you know, how many animals we have on our land. And they're saying in this letter that came from the city that failure to return this required underlined survey may result in a termination of water services. Your cooperation is to protect the public water system is greatly appreciated. So there's a very recent, less dramatic than the gun issue, but this is like something that people really have to be questioning. My first response was, I want to get a lawyer on this and see if this is even legal. So when we're talking about these things at Bridges Well, we always like to try to bring in, like, what can we do about this? Like, who can we go to? How do you guys think that we can respond to this kind of tyranny that's going on in all these little ways? You know, here they're busy building water systems to take the water out of this area, Northern California. Anyway, that's why I would just want to chime in with that. So we'll go on. I think that I forget her name, Vaz. It says Vaz on the Skype. I think she's next.
Vicky,
yeah. Thanks.
Actually, I think Brian had his hand up longer than I did. If he wants to go first, I'm happy to wait. It doesn't matter to me.
That's Jenna.
Oh.
Yeah, and I read the message. I did read the message that he wrote down, and I did post the link about that interview of that young woman on the missing link. And Brian has been chiming in. So Jesse actually had Nikki scheduled for an interview in July. So when I notified him about the show today, he told me that. But he's cluing in, and he's understanding a full scope by the few interviews he's had. He's had Cindy and Lark on, and that's all I needed to say. Vicky, take it away.
Yeah, I don't remember who mentioned what, so pardon that. But I just wanted to touch on a few things that a couple of people have mentioned. And, yeah, it's all about using emotive language because they don't want people to think through anything. They just want emotional responses. If you can get people afraid of something, especially something that they can't verify for themselves, they can't look it up, you can't test it, you can't do anything, and just be afraid so that you can be, I guess frozen in fear. You're willing to go along with almost anything. And then I think it was Sean who earlier made mention to, and also someone else about the shaming, because they always seem to want something, a symbol, something visual that people can see with their eyes so that you can focus on that for shaming people into complying with what they want. Those seem to be very big tactics. And I'm always skeptical. I think people who are just learning about this, it's something that they might want to be aware of as to what they hear or get people thinking about or in types of conversations and asking questions like, well, what makes you think that it's okay to dictate how other people live? And there was something, the gentleman who just spoke, who said, it made me think of something that Nikki used to say. And it was something along the lines of rights for everyone, but no one in particular. So when he was talking about, you know, your right to protect yourself, it made me think of some of the little sayings that Nikki used to have, which I may have paraphrased differently than she did. But it was always about, you know, rights for everyone, but no one in particular. And that's all I wanted to add.
Yeah, I do remember a couple of her interviews. She's had a couple great interviews, not very many, but no one in particular. I remember that coming up in a Hobjob of soft laws. And that's where the reflexive law, things that are open to interpretation, and then when it goes to court, it seems to be just like a mob rule of the interests of the community at large. And they're already at play with their Agenda 21 list. You know, the book is already, the plan has already been set in play, and it's all already in motion. And I heard of court rulings that end up steamrolling people's individual rights because there's a mob that shows up to determine whose rights are more important. And what also came to mind when you were mentioning the wordplay is that when the interpretation of community comes up, the shareholder community, and in regards to the medicine, because Tony Fauci's wife, Christine Grady, she was on the NIH, and bioethics was her department, but she wrote a paper back in 2005, and it clearly defined that from the 90s on, the medical community, they were no longer needing to take responsibility to fully inform or full consent to individuals that would undergo an experiment, because the benefit to the community of shareholders was greater. So that's where, you know, things just kind of, the sleight of hand changes the perspective of the whole game. And that was back in the 90s that like there was a block of time where communitarian became the principal doctrine of ethics in the NIH. So here we are today, and no wonder it appears that experimental vaccines on a worldwide scale are acceptable, because all of the information and all of the shareholder investments, stakeholders, I'm not too sure exactly the right term there, but I'm sure Lark could correct me.
Well, hey, I would only add.
There's like 10 minutes left of the show, and I want to just put this in here to ask you all if you could talk about ways that you or the people that you know of are not complying, are bringing up to local legislation, asking for proof of their, you know, like, where's the laws that say that you can, you know, not give me water because I didn't tell you I had a pool? Or, you know, in my town, they started taxing us, small businesses, on stuff that we had in our offices, even if they were bought on the street or in a thrift store. And I went in there and asked them, where's the legislation? I want to see where it says that you can tax me on stuff that I already paid for, and some of the stuff I paid sales taxes on. Where's the legislation? And then the next year they stopped taxing me. They stopped sending me stuff. So I would love to hear from you guys what ways you can see that we can be the pushback, you know?
The simple thing is to have as little interaction with zombies and criminals as possible. Most people that are zombies and criminals do not realize that they have been made zombies and or criminals. And this is the facts. A zombie is merely a person who is not in possession of their own mind. And anybody that speaks for a corporation or an agency of quote unquote government is a zombie. They're being paid to be a zombie. And they don't think about whether they're a criminal or not because they're just doing their job. They're pushing buttons. They're wielding a joystick. Everything that they say in interaction with you is pro forma. It's part of their job description. So you're not going to get any answers from any of these kind of people at all.
Well, I would want to interject that because Mitzi did take a lead and ask those questions, Equicentric in the chat said asking questions sets people off. It breaks us like the continuity of this spell, this zombified notion of being told what to do. So I think asking questions, and I think that's how Nikki started out. She was
the core thing that she did was to ask questions and not give up. Just keep a cool head, ask a lot of questions. Something that I do personally is to just involve myself in a lot of things that you can truly control in your own sphere. Growing a huge garden, remembering that the name and the position that they birthed you into in this society, these societies that we live in, isn't really you. You know, you're not really your ego. You're not really your voice in your head. You're not really just your body. So there's a good mystery there of what you really are. And part of the deception is they want us to believe that we are the name on our birth certificate or the name on our driver's license. And just remember that that's just an entity that you're taking agency over or not. And so I'd say to keep that in mind and to take action in your personal life for things that support yourself and the people that you love. Without an over-focus on worrying and being fearful of how horrible the world's going to get stranger and worse. It always has. We don't know where it's going, but you can take action each day to give yourself peace and security and to offer love to the people that you love, you know.
Yeah, well said. I like to say that before language, there was another you and another me.
That's right.
That all of us at once are apers and oneers. We are students and we are teachers. An aper is simply a person who learns by rote, by repetition, by memory. It's how we learn when we're young. But we are also at the same time a oneer, and we can't ever forget this. Again, before language, before any socialization into any kind of language, there was another you and there's another me, and we still are connected to that individual. And that's what makes us oneers. You know, we are unique in all of creation, and nothing's going to change that. There was never anyone like us before us. There will never be another one like us after us. And so what people need to do is they need to understand about this word love is best expressed when we practice on ourselves a lot.
Thank you. Breiser, raise a glass to Nikki. What do you have to say?
Yeah, definitely raise a glass to Nikki. May she rest in peace. And I have to thank her for all her great work, you know. But again, I think asking questions is important. I've tried to ask questions of local councillors and politicians around here. They run away. They can't. They can't even answer my question. They don't even know what I'm talking about, to be quite honest with you. But, you know, you can only do so much. And I think just personally, you know, you just don't enter into any contracts with these people at all. You know, I think even under communitarianism, there is consent. And that's what they're relying on, is our consent. So at least individually, we can do that. And then hopefully we can get more people on board. It's just a kind of a work in progress, really. That's what it is. I think that's the only way we can get through this. You know, there's no magic bullet here. I think, you know, as I say, it's a very difficult concept to get for people to understand. So we have to break it down gently, try and explain it to people. And But when I have challenged, there's a local councillor here in my town, and I've challenged him on a few things like this, and he does not want to know. So I'm kind of, well, but nobody else is asking him. You see, if there was a couple of hundred people in the town asking the same question, then maybe something could get done. But just one person doing it is just I'm not getting anywhere, I think. So,
yeah, well, that's not true.
In my own world, I'm just doing, you know, I'm just not contracting these things. Any contracts, any offers of contract I get in from the government or the state or whatever. I just return to sender, all rights reserved. And they leave me alone, and that's great. And I get on with my life, you know?
Okay. Yeah. But, you know, I was the only one, I think, that went into the county office and asked, you know, the legitimacy of them taxing me for my stuff. And it changed. I don't know if it changed for everybody. I should look into that.
And I dropped some links in the chat. I don't know if there's a way to post them to the show. Nikki's book is available to download for free. And the links to her old research on her blog and to the archive of nord.twu.net/ACL for the original research page. That stuff is all still up. There's a GoFundMe to support Nordica to help her keep the property, but I think she's trying to raise money right now for the memorial and for cremation costs. So I'd like to remind people to please support Nordica Frederick in her struggle right now. And I definitely have plans to publish things on my own channel. You can find me at sbalger.com. I just know we're getting to the end of the show here, so I wanted to make sure that people know that, well, you know, I'm going to try to get proactive on ways to help Nordica in this time and to continue this work for the rest of my life, because Nikki and Nordica changed my life. And the least I can do is carry on from here and make it available to other people to whatever degree I can. So.
Thank you, Sean.
I think that's the best thing that any of us can do. If we want to see, I don't consider that Nikki's gone. He's still with me.
Hear, hear.
And that's how we best carry on her work, is to literally carry it on, because this is work that must be done.
Yep.
I'd like to add, if I may, real briefly, for people that are just learning about this, there are many of Nikki's old interviews online that people can find. And the great thing about Nikki is she always, whenever she came to an interview, she always had a different way of explaining what she learned and trying to put forth what communitarianism is. So for people trying to just coming to it and learning more about it, that's another great resource to think about, finding some old interviews. There's some really great ones out there.
And I also think that when we try to get out there and wake people up, and it's very difficult, but people are curious, and more people are waking up now. I've noticed that in the last 2 years, it's a huge amount of people have woken up because they're seeing family and friends and everything dropping dead or getting terrible injuries from this poisonous jab. And then they've seen their rights being taken away. And, you know, I've been on this stuff for a long time, and I've been talking to a lot of friends I know around the town that I live in. So they know where I stand on this, you know. And they will come to you if they want to know stuff. They will come to you, and that's why we got to be there for them and be able to share that information with them. I think sometimes you just you run around in circles just trying to wake people up and say, this is what's going on. This is, you know, the people, you know, they're not able to take that in. But most people are just fast asleep at the wheel and quite happy to do what they're doing. But for those who really feel that their lives are really under threat now, will gravitate towards the likes of us.
I should add that the oldest thing that I have personally been able to find on the internet related to Nikki and Nordica's research over the years is simply titled Understanding the Third Way. So if you do a search, Understanding the Third Way, because that's what people were calling it, you know, back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, along with communitarianism, the Third Way. That was actually penned before 9/11. Good read.
Vicki, do you have any parting words? Thank you so much for showing up. It was really nice meeting you today.
Well, thank you for having me. I know you were asking questions about what people can do locally. I think, you know, I really don't have an answer for that one, other than everyone has to try and figure out for themselves what the best course of action is and how they interact with others. And I think a great way too, because you can't just blindside people and beat them over the head with this stuff and just say, oh my God, look at this. You know, when you hear them talk, ask questions. What do you mean by that? Those are some of the best questions I think we could ever present to people who are spouting out a lot of the language and things that we hear in relation to communitarianism. You know, they start talking about things like community. Well, what do you mean by that? Because it's a great way to help prompt others to think. Like what Sean said, and I'm going to change the topic now about helping Nordica. I know it's been very trying for her, so if people are kind enough, even if you can't help financially, give her a word of support. And just keep in mind what a beautiful soul Nikki was, or is. And I guess that's pretty much all I have to say at this point.
And Jenna, maybe there's a way of helping Nordica financially, isn't there? She's got just an address that people can send something to her. Is that right?
Yes. I have her address. It is 7362 West Parks Highway, 715, Wasilla, Alaska, 99623. I'll put it in the chat.
Yeah, and yeah, I think she needs help. She's a young lady, four kids, you know, it's going to be hard for her. So I think if a lot of people just send $5, $10 or whatever they can, it'll help big time, you know.
Okay, I'll stop. I'll put it in right after the show. But I want to thank all the guests for coming on. Sean, it was so nice to hear. It was very refreshing to hear all of your information. I haven't really listened to any of your interviews, but I really appreciate you articulating everything, all of the influence that Nikki's had and how you perceive it. I put your link up in the chat, and I hope other people might visit it and be inspired by your life work. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And
short notice for all of us. I mean, we're all in grief still. So everyone, just be kind to yourselves. Take your time to get to where you need to go. But just remember that you're allowed to take action on your own behalf and on behalf of other people with confidence and from a foundation of love. I mean, that's the true underlying foundational inspiration of Nikki Rapana. It wasn't the research, it wasn't the intellectual prowess. It was that she was the biggest heart anyone ever met. And she was the kindest, most sweetest, understanding soul that anyone ever met. And she had a fire for finding answers to the questions that weren't prevalent. They weren't coming easily. And so she was willing to ask those questions over and over again. And we can all carry on. She's still here with us now. We can all carry on and do that as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Oh. Great job, everyone.
She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Moscow's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.